This morning to Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you have your scriptures and would like to follow along with us, there's a subject on my mind this morning that requires us to go to a couple of different places in the Word of the Lord, if He blesses us to do so. We stand in need of the Lord's blessings in the preaching of the gospel. I want to read verses 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the scripture says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of hearkening unto the Lord. Hearkening unto the Lord. You know, we see here the context of these verses that I've read to you are in the final days of the life of Moses. Moses has already been told that he will not be blessed to enter into the land that the Lord had promised the children of Israel. he of course was cut off from that blessing, because as opposed to speaking to the rock, he smote the rock twice. And the Lord told him upon doing that act that because he didn't listen and hearken to the commandments of God, that he would not be one of the ones that was blessed to be able to enter into the land that floweth with milk and honey. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that somebody, whenever they're at a point of age where they can see that they're getting close to the end, that they're on what a lot of people call borrowed time, that they know that there's some things that they may not be blessed to be able to enjoy. But it still doesn't remove the weight that lies on them and the burden that is within them, that those that would come after them would be blessed to be able to enjoy some things. And that's what Moses is doing throughout the course of the last few chapters here of the book of Deuteronomy, is he knows that there's some things that he's not going to be blessed to be a partaker of. But nevertheless, he's going to issue some words of wisdom unto the children of Israel so that they would be blessed in some things that he may not get to enjoy. You know, when you say, well, boy, that just seems like that's just gloom and doom that they're not going to get to enjoy. Believe you me, they're going to enjoy much more than what they're even charging you to enjoy here in this world. They're going on to enjoy eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't mourn for them in that state, but nevertheless, appreciate what they're telling you that you can enjoy here on this side of glory. And one of the things that Moses tells the children of Israel is to hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't use that word much. Whenever we have a issue arise in our house and we're having a trouble with communication, we use the term listen. You know, listen to me just a second is what I tell everybody in my house from time to time. If there's too much going on and everybody's speaking up and everybody's over, stop for just a second and listen to what I'm saying. Hear what I've got to say. But you know, the word hearken carries a lot more weight than just listen to what I say. You know, listen just means pay attention to and hear it. But whenever the Scripture uses the word hearken, that doesn't just mean to listen and to hear what is being said, but that means to observe and to obey the contents that are contained in the voice of the Lord thy God. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, whenever you think about what Moses told them here by the commandments of the Almighty God, to hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and what he told them that they would be blessed to receive. There's not a one of us here today, I think if I asked a question, and we don't do this here, and I'm thankful we don't, because it can bring about disorder at the house of God. But what if I were to stand up, what if I were to ask, let's have a show of hands this morning, if you do not want to receive the things that Moses is about to tell them that they could bless to be partakers of. There's not a one of you here today, if you had time to read through it, what Moses told them that God would do for them, that would say that I don't want those things, that those are not things that I desire here in this world. These were blessings from on high, that the Scripture says that they shall overtake thee. In other words, you'll have so many of them you can't even count them. You can't even recognize them all, because God is going to be so good to you if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Hear what he says, observe what he says, do, and obey the commandments of an Almighty God. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, he says here that, I'll get to the sentence I'm trying to say here in just a minute. There's some phrases that you and I still use today that are taken from the very contents of the words of Moses right here. You know, there's phrases that we use that we don't recognize them as being biblical phrases a lot of times, but they're derived right here from the Word of God. You ever heard the term that he's blessed coming and going? He's blessed coming and going. Look at what the Lord's doing in the life of that person. He's blessed coming and he's blessed going. You know what Moses says down in verse 6? He said, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You're blessed coming and you're blessed going. The Lord will add his blessings unto you whenever you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, a lot of people, whenever they hear that, whenever they say, Brother Will, you've given me the commandment to hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. But where do I hear you? Where do I hear the voice of God? How can I know what the Lord is saying to me? You know, if you'll read here, what Moses equates to being the voice of the Lord thy God are the things that he writes in the verses thereafter. If you want to know how the Lord speaks to you and to me and to every
one of his children here in this day and time is through the written word of the Almighty God. He speaks to us through the Scriptures. You know, the Apostle Peter says over in the New Testament, says, "For the Scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." When you read the words of Scripture, even though they were spoken and written by man, God inspired them, and they're the literal words of the Almighty God. You're reading what God would desire for you to hearken and for you to obey and for you to observe. It's in His Word. You know, it ceases to amaze me from time to time how, you know, you and I may have made this point before. Just crossed my mind, and I'll make it again. But you know, we probably all go to doctors from time to time. We're all treated for various ailments. You know, my doctor knows me. I don't know if y'all's knows. Y'all's, I've had them before that wouldn't know who it was. If I went back to them again, didn't know who it was when I was there with them. I got left in a doctor's office one time several years ago. They forgot I was in there. And it was one of those where you had to change your tire to go in there, and I had to open the door and holler up and down the halls. I was in there for close to an hour, and there was nobody that ever came in there. And I finally got somebody to attend. They said, "We forgot you were in here." You know, they forgot I was in the office to be attended to. They forgot about me. But you know, we go and we see a doctor that may not even know who we are, may forget who we are, and as soon as they write something on a little piece of paper, we'll take their word for it and say, "Buddy, I want me some of that." You know, we'll follow nutrition advice. These nutritionists that write these things, these diets, and these things that are good for me, do we all understand that what may be good for one may not be good for all? Do we all understand that? I'm not saying that all of it's bad. I'm just telling you that until somebody knows your specific case, they don't know what your diet needs to be. You know, but all of us will turn, we'll sit in a doctor's office and we'll open up a magazine. And we'll look and see what some nutritionist that lives in Miami Beach, Florida somewhere that, you know, got a degree in nutrition and can put whatever the letters are that comes after that. And they say, "You need to be eating this many carbohydrates a day. You need to cut your calories down to this level. You don't need to eat any more grams of sugar than this." And every single one of us will say, "Buddy, that's what I'm going to follow. That's what I'm going to listen. That's what I'm going to observe. That's what I'm going to obey." Well, let me tell you something. Here's the words of one that knows you intimately inside and out. And He's given you some commandments. And Moses is saying, "Hearken unto Him. Listen unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And you'll be blessed here in this world." And I believe it with every ounce of my being that this is a promise that the Almighty God is making through His Word. And that He'll fulfill His end of it if we'll do our bargain and hearken unto what God Almighty has said. You think about it not only from an individual standpoint. Think about it from a church standpoint. Think about it on a body of believers. If they would hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if they would do the things that God has commanded in His Word to do unto Him, pray unto Him, praise unto Him, worship Him, give Him the honor, praise, and glory that He is due, look at what He'll bestow upon you for hearkening diligently unto Him. Look at it from a national standpoint. Oh, people say, "Brother Will, now we don't want to get too political here over the next several years. You better get ready for it. Because I'm going to tell you what, we need the prayers. Our country needs it, and you and I need to hear it. And if you ever get to the point where you don't want to hear what God has said to us through this Word, you can find you somebody else to talk to. Because I'm going to tell you what this Word has to say. And this Word's got a lot to say about things going on in the nation. This Word's got a lot of things to say about people that live in a nation forsaking the things that are contained in this book. It's got a lot to say about it. And if this book's got something to say about it, then we've got something that needs to be heard about it. And I want to tell you, you and I need to hearken diligently. Our nation needs to hearken diligently unto the things, unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Listen to what God has told us through His written Word. He'll tell you how to live. He'll tell you how to worship. He'll tell you how to do things gracefully here in this life. He'll tell you how to walk with Him through this sin-cursed world. I tell you, He hasn't left us here abandoned. You know, you think of what God has given us here in this age and given us this written Word. Do I dare tell a group of people today that don't already know this, that there was a period in time where people had this book? But I'm going to tell you, a church may have one copy of it, as opposed to every household in it having an opportunity. You know, we've got Bibles in our house that are the King. Let me stress this for just a second. That are the King James Bible. That is the King James translation of Scripture. And if anybody ever says that you need to listen to another one, then you need to take them right over there to Revelation chapter 22 and you need to read what the Lord said about adding unto His Word. Because I'm going to tell you, if God has preserved it and our people have used it since then as English speaking people, we can live by it today. We don't need another one. This is the word of the Almighty God. And he said, hearken diligently unto it. You know, we have Bibles in our house. They're King James translation. But you know, we don't even use those, because we'll get some new ones. We'll buy the kids, you know, we'll find out that the writing's too small in it. You know, when you're trying to teach a kid how to read, it ain't a good idea to get one that you have to squint to read in order for them to be able to see. It's not a real good idea. They're struggling. You know, I'm not talking about skipping one line. We got some in our house where the words are so small that the poor child will skip two of them trying to go from one to the next one. It's written so small, we've moved on to more. But God has blessed us to the point where we have a storehouse of scriptures in our home. Has blessed us with those sort of things so that we might know what God is speaking unto us as His children. You and I can't plead ignorance. I'm sorry, there may be some excuses that we may cry, but ignorance can't be one of them, because God has left us with something to know what His will is. And if we shall hearken diligently unto the things in which we'll write. Oh, I want to tell you. You know, the scriptures in the next verse where I closed out said, blessed shalt thou be in the city. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a city dweller or a country dweller whenever it comes to walking with the Lord, because He said, blessed shalt thou be in the city. And blessed shalt thou be in the field. And in other words, it doesn't matter if your job is dependent upon the asphalt of this world. It doesn't matter if you've got to have the highways and byways and the enterprises of this world to make what you make a living in this world. You'll be blessed in it if you're dependent upon the fruit of the field and the blessings of a garden here in this world. The scripture says you'll be blessed there. I'm going to take care of you on both ends. I'm going to take care of you coming and going. I'm going to take care of you no matter where you dwell. I'm going to take care of your enemies. Look at what he says down in verse 7. It says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. You know, there's some things that there's some judgment and some chastisement that God's left in store for Himself. And those that touch the anointing, those that do the people of God harm, I tell you, the Lord has said, if they're obeying my words, you better watch bothering them. You better watch causing them trouble, because I'm going to look after them. I'm going to have your enemies that are causing you trouble, and I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to send them away from thee, and they shall come as one. In other words, they're going to come to you as a united front, thinking that they've got it all figured out, that they can do everything that they need to overtake you. But yet the Lord has said, I'll divide them to the point where they depart in your face seven ways. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, the scriptures would give us examples of ways that the Lord speaks to us through His Word, through the scriptures, as well as in the relationships that we have in this world. The Lord speaks to us through those people that are wise in our midst. You know, I want to draw an example of not only want to touch on how we hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God through the scriptures, but hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God through the elders. Go with me over to 1 Kings chapter 12. And whenever I say elders, I'm speaking here about those wise men among you, not necessarily the office of an elder in the New Testament church. We'll get to that one here in a minute. But in note, you know, there's a man of God could stand before the people 100 years and he'll never preach the lessons. He'll never preach out the lessons that are in the books of 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Chronicles of those events that happened to the people of Israel back in the Old Testament days. You can't get them. You can't preach them all out. But here in two series of chapters, 1 Kings chapter 12 and 1 Kings chapter 13, you have a lesson that is given unto us. One, an example of a diligent hearken unto a voice of the Lord, which was given through the elders. And another, which was given in 1 Kings chapter 13, some voices came from one that was an old prophet, but it didn't come from the Lord. And we'll see what the consequences are of those sort of events. But here in 1 Kings chapter 12, you see that Solomon has now passed, and his son is reigning in his stead, Rehoboam. And the scripture says that Rehoboam went to Shechem. I'm in verse 1. For all Israel were to come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it. Now you can go back to the previous chapter to find out who that is, who Jeroboam is and what he did. But nevertheless, he fled Israel, and he went to Egypt in the time of Solomon's reign. And the scripture says that he was yet in Egypt. He heard that Rehoboam was now in leadership, and he was fled from the presence of King Solomon. Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. That they sinned and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, "Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee." And he said unto them, "Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me." And the people departed. Now, just as I always do, and I'll probably do it more as I get older. You know how people grow more merciful as they get older. When they're young, they're ruthless. You know, there's no room for mercy whenever you're young. You just think there's no excuses. I think that's the reason why the Lord gave parents the responsibility to raise children instead of grandparents, because every once in a while the mercy needs to run out, and there needs to be some rear ends attended to. You know what I mean? And grandparents a lot of times aren't the best to be able to administer that sort of thing. But as I grow older and as I give examples of mistakes that people make, I'm going to make sure to establish this. Don't minimize the task that lie before Rehoboam. He's a king of a nation. There's a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. He's praying and asking. He's asking for 3 days to consider a request that's come to him. And that is that he would do something differently than his daddy would do it. Now, every one of us, put yourself in those shoes. I don't know about you, but I do a lot of things like my daddy does them. You do it. And those of you, I don't know all of his daddies, but I know a lot of his sons. And you know, I see a lot of daddy and sons. I see a lot of things go on similar. You know, there's nothing, not a thing wrong with that. So you consider yourself for just a second here in Rehoboam's shoes. And you put yourself where he stood. He's being asked to do something differently than his role model. And I believe he had a pretty good one in some ways. Now, he had them in some ways that, you know, Solomon's listed as a wise man. And he's a wise man because his experiences caused him a lot of trouble. He was able to leave us some wise words given in the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, as well as a sweet book on the Song of Solomon there about a relationship with the Lord as opposed to with the harlots of this world. He lived through that experience. He was a smart man. And here you've got his son. And he's being asked not to do things as his daddy would do them. So be merciful when you read what he did here in the words following. It said in verse 6, "And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." He goes to the old men, and he's told that if he will speak lightly unto him, if he'll be tender to him, if he'll be merciful to him, and speak good words to him, that they'll be his servants forever. There you have the words of the elders, of the older men. And Solomon's been told these words. The scripture says in the next verse, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little fingers shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay with you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." And he hearkened unto the voice of the younger men as opposed to the voice of the older men. He observed the things that were told to him by the younger as opposed to that was told to him by the older. He observed to do those things that were not right in the eyes of the counselors that he was given. You know, a lot of times here in this day and age, you know, the older people don't speak a whole lot. They've lived and learned, and they've learned through experience to observe to be slow to speak, be slow to speak. And whenever we see that, a lot of times we think that it's because they don't have any wisdom about a certain situation. That they don't have any positive and profitable input that can be added to a certain situation. You know, the old saying goes, just as a lot of times a teenage child answers their parents, so we as middle age, I guess I can call myself that these days. I'm not, as I always do, I ain't gonna give a cutoff, I ain't give a starting stage to that, I ain't gonna give an ending stage to it. But you know, a lot of times that when we're given the words of wisdom by those that have come before us and those that have lived through the times that we're living through, you know, the scenario that we try to place before our eyes and the words that we try to use as an excuse back to them is, you don't know what it's like to go through what I'm going through. Now, I'm going to tell you, parents know what it's like. Grandparents know what it's like to raise youngins because they raised you. They know what it's like to provide for a family because they provided for you. Now, I grant you this. The elements that existed, that exist now, may not have existed to the extent that they did back then, but it still makes the words that they speak wise words to hearken unto the elders that, and the older ones that speak the wisdom unto the younger. You know, one of the things it's something that's just a pet peeve of mine. The Lord has blessed Macedonia Church with a lot of youngins. We got a lot of youngins here in this congregation. It's not the case a lot of times when you visit among our people. Doesn't matter where you go, it's not always the case. There's not always a lot of young people in the congregations of the Lord's church here in this world. And you know, if you'll notice, a lot of times when somebody stays, because you can't really get the grasp of it unless you're a song leader, unless you stand here and you get up here and you say, man, look at the young people in our congregation, and look at how the Lord has blessed us to have a lot of children. I want to tell you, with blessings comes a lot of responsibilities. You hear me? That means that there's a lot of responsibilities that come because we've got those children, and the Lord's, and if we believe what the Lord said in the 127th Psalm, we believe that they came from the Lord, that the Lord blessed us with them, and with those blessings come a lot of responsibility. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of their youth. And I want to tell you, 15, 20 years from now, I don't want to look back towards the back wall and see a spray of a whole forecast of misaimed shots because we didn't fulfill the responsibility that God gave us. But that's not my point of talking about that. I just figured I'd add it in the midst of talking about it. But you know, if you can look at it, you can see a bunch of youth. You know, one thing that you better look out there and see as well. You better look out there and see some sandy heads as well. You better look out there and see some gray-haired men in that congregation, some gray-haired women in that congregation, because there lies the wisdom of the flock of God. Those people that have lived through the things and lived and seen a lot more than we saw. You know, last month, you know, when we laid my grandmother to rest, 1 month shy of 93, you know, the thought that kept going over my mind whenever you bury somebody that's lived that long, you think of everything that somebody that's lived that long has seen. You think of how life was whenever they were living, and how the plumbing facilities existed back then, and how the electrical facilities existed back then, just in the natural form of life. Look at everything that they've seen. Look at the departure away from a worship of God that they've seen in the communities in which we reside in today. You know, there was a time when people, just for the responsibility's sake, went to church. You know that? You know, somebody told me the other day that they see a lot of things that are better in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And they said one of the things that's better is the messages from the pulpit contain a lot more content. And there's a lot more meat there than what I remember whenever I was young. By the way, it was spoken by a man he's 94. He's 94 and he's an ordained minister. And he said, what I see among the churches is I see that the messages that are preached from the pulpit, they got a lot more content. And I said, I think I'll tell you why. And it's because people don't just come anymore just for the sake of saying, I got a responsibility to go to church. There's way too many distractions. See, years ago, there wasn't anything that distracted. It was their day off from work. Now, if they didn't go there, I guarantee you, somebody was going to put them to work doing something else. So they went just out of a case of responsibility. And the same thing goes whenever we observe that there's maybe more content. It's because the competition's higher. And if you're gonna give somebody a blessing from coming to the house of God, you better give them something to chew on, something to feed them, something to teach them to walk here in this world. And I tell you, the way that you get that, and the way that you're blessed to be able to give those things unto the people of God, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and if you listen to the wisdom of the ones that are older than you. You know, I've got elder friends of mine that are older than me that I call on often. I tell them things, tell them what's on my mind. I tell them really what's on my heart. Spoke to one just this past week. After 2 days of turmoil and prayer over a situation in my life, I said, I don't know if there's anybody else in this world that knows what I'm going through and the decision I'm trying to make. What is better? What's better for me, for my family, for my service to the Lord? But all of a sudden, his name popped up in my head and I gave him a call. And I'm going to tell you, he had an experience that was right in line with it. And his experience was relayed to me. And I know he had to think I was crazy for just pure weeping on the phone that God had given me an answer to the wisdom of the older men here in this world. And I want to tell you, you and I would be wise to listen to the things that they tell us and to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God and the wisdom that's spoken to the older ones. You know, I don't have time for the sake of time to go through the lesson in 1 Kings chapter 13. But what you have is you have a prophet of the Lord. I do have time. Old Canucci's meeting at 6:30 today. We'll get y'all there. You better call somebody else and get the air conditioner turned on. The 1 Kings chapter 13, the scripture says that there was a man of God that was sent to Jeroboam. Jeroboam, see, after Rehoboam returned to Jeroboam and gave him the counsel of the younger men and told him that if you think my daddy was tough, listen to what I'm about to do. You know, his finger was going to be thicker than his daddy's loins. And upon hearing that, Jeroboam took the other tribes. You remember, this is the splitting of the tribes of Israel. This is where it took place, right here. And he took those tribes and he took them off. And the scripture says that Jeroboam began to set up an altar and began to set up his own way of worship. Well, the Lord sent a prophet down there to tell him what he thought about such an act. And 1 Kings chapter 13 tells us the account of that prophet. He's not given to us by name. You know, there's a lot of times people try to derive who somebody is when the scriptures don't give you their name. I promise you, if it was critical to know the name, God would have given us the name. He would have told us who it was. You know, it doesn't mean I don't enjoy a good study on who wrote the book of Hebrews. I can give you reasons why I think the Apostle Paul was the author of that book. But I guarantee you that if it was critical in order to be able to understand the book of Hebrews to know who wrote it, guess what? God would have put it in there as well. But he didn't. Nevertheless, we're not given here this man by name. But it says, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And by the way, you can go over and you can read the accounts of Josiah and the things that this prophet spoke, that man did. He spoke in the wisdom of God. He spoke by the authority of God. And what this man spoke, Josiah fulfilled. And it said, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave thee a sign, and he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. In other words, he's fixing to cause him harm. Because what he's spoken is against Jeroboam and against his worship. And he's about to try to halt the witness that has been sent to him. He's about to try to hush him up. But as soon as he puts his hand on him from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up so that he could not pull it again to him. You know, as I said earlier, the scripture says that we should touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets no harm. as the Lord would look after him if we're doing the things that is the Lord's will. Well, here you got a man, and he's come to a mighty man of authority, and he's come right there to his own. Do you think this was a special place to Jeroboam? I believe it was. He was there. It wasn't just this place of worship that he had set up just to get people out of his business so that he could go do his own thing. He was there whenever these words were spoken by this prophet, by this man of God, of saying that the people that bow unto thee here, there's going to be a king that rises up out of David's loins that is going to handle the ones that continue in this worship. And whenever that man heard it, he stretched forth his hands. And immediately when his hand was laid upon this man, that his hand dried up and he could not pull it again to him. And the altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now, if you'll remember back over in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we've made mention many times. If you've taken notes, take a note. Here's a good place to put a note. That the scriptures tell us that the way that you'll tell a prophet from a false prophet is that if the things in which he speaks come to pass, then you'll know that he was a prophet sent from God. Now, in the course of reading about prophets throughout the Old Testament, one thing you'll see is that the prophecies that they declared, a lot of times, they had things that were fulfilled in the short term. They also prophesied about things that would be fulfilled in the long term. And the reason why that those were given that would be fulfilled in the short term would be so that those that heard the words come out of his mouth would see those short-term prophecies fulfilled and would therefore believe the long term. There was prophecies that were fulfilled during the days of Isaiah that he prophesied about, and that they were fulfilled so that those witnesses would see that the other prophecies about the birth and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ would be fulfilled later on. Well, the same thing here. See, Josiah is not going to be born during the days of this prophet. He's going to be born a lot later on. But I tell you, the short-term prophecy, in other words, these ashes turning over and this altar being burnt was about to be fulfilled in the eyes of those people so that they would know this is a man of God in their midst. They're going to know. You know, again, folks may ask the question, well, Brother Will, how do we know if a man is speaking the truth unto us today? You know, we don't have altars being burnt up. I don't believe we do literally, but I believe you do figuratively in a lot of people's lives. You know, if the Lord will bless a man of God to show them under the way of God more perfectly and show them that they've got a Savior that loves them, that died for them, and that's seated on the right hand of God for them, that's coming back for them again at the end of time, I tell you, they'll be blessed in their lives to get rid of some things that they worship and begin to worship that one that did so many things. I believe they still take place, but they're just not manifested in the same way. The way that we determine whether or not a man of God is a man of God today is that the things that he speaks is contained in this word. You've got something better than an eyewitness account. You've got the word of God to verify whether or not somebody's speaking unto you by the authority of the word of God. You know, we see here of what this man says and what he did and what was accomplished there in his midst. And we see also that Jeroboam desired to have fellowship with him after he was restored. And the man answered, and he says down in verse 8 of this chapter, I got to summarize. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink nor water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. In other words, he told Jeroboam, whenever Jeroboam invited him into his house, he said that the Lord has told me that I'm not to stop here. I've come here with a purpose, and it was to preach and to declare what I declared, and now I must go back. Wise words by a man of God, fulfilling and following the commandments of God, doing as the Lord said. But here we read in the next verses down that there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. That's what it says in verse 11. It says, now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. You know, I said that I was going to be careful to note that you should hearken, and hearkening unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to listen to the wisdom of the elders. We've also got to confirm what the elders say by the word of God. If what an elder speaks, it doesn't matter if it's an elder standing where I stand or if it's an elder in your life that's an older person. If they don't speak the things that are contained in the Word of God, then that which they have spoken is not to be hearkened unto. It's only the things that are affirmed unto us by the Word of God. And see, this man had already been told by God, you're not to eat in this place. You're not to stop in this place. You're to get up out of it immediately whenever you fulfill the responsibility that I've given to you. But here an old prophet that was in Bethel heard what took place. I'm sure he's a man that that appreciated what this man finally came in and did. A man that had a thanksgiving in his heart that finally there's some things that he had witnessed that were going to come to a close. But here he cries unto this man that's come, this prophet that's come, that's cast down this altar, that's declared some things that are going to take place in the future. And because he's an old prophet, flip over with me. Well, I've got to flip. I don't know if you have to flip or not. But he says in verse 18, after the prophet answers and tells this older prophet that the Lord has told me I can't stay, that I can't dwell here after being invited to this older prophet's house. He says over in verse 18, this old prophet speaks and says, I am a prophet, also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Now again, I got to summarize. I hope sometimes whenever I summarize these things, I have no idea if you go home and read them again. I can't control that. You know, it's like the preacher said, you know, Brother Ronnie joked during our annual meeting up here whenever he was trying to get Samuel in the house, into the church house, my little two-year-old Samuel into the church house, and trying to coax him in from out there before our Saturday morning service that, you know, he sent word in here that he couldn't get Samuel to come in, and I just go in and grab him by the arm and I carry him in. You know, Brother Ronnie joked, he said, you know, I try to pastor by inviting people to come to the house, but Brother Will just pastors by force. He drags them into the Lord's house. I can't pastor by dictatorship. I'm not going to tell you what you have to do when you get home, but you'd benefit from reading this again when you get home. I'd benefit from it. You want to know why? Because I'm a person that can make a mistake, and if I've made one, I want to be corrected on it. But you know, one of the things that we see here that took place in this man's life is that whenever he went back to that old prophet's house, whenever he hearkened unto the voice of this older prophet, because he said that the Lord had spoken unto him and told him something different than what he had told him, he goes back to his house and it displeases the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord slays that man, not the older prophet. Slays that younger man who has just fulfilled this marvelous miracle in the eyes of the children of Israel. Slays him by the roadside. A lion kills him in the way as he goes back home. What does that teach us about hearkening to the voice of the Lord thy God? Hearken unto the wisdom of the voice of the Lord thy God that speaks to us through the relationships that we have here in this world. But it must line up with the word of the Almighty God. It must be confirmed there. You know, there's a... I was blessed just this past week to receive a book from one of our members in a sister church of ours that he left for his grandchildren. And it's words of wisdom. And it's just, you know, a couple of sentences, every one of them a couple of sentences, sometimes one of them. And he wrote it because he wanted his grandchildren to understand what a blessing it is to be a primitive Baptist. And you know, as I read through every single one of those, there was not one of them that whenever I got done, and again, I could have misread, but I doubt it based on the confidence I have in him and based on the fact that I was reading it pretty intently and pretty closely. There was not one of them that even though he didn't put a verse of Scripture as a proof text after it, there's not one of them that I can't say that are not confirmed in the Word of the Almighty God of that which He has spoken by wisdom unto those that are coming after Him. You know, that's the sort of counsel that we need to give our children. Too often, we're too worried about telling our children what ball team they need to pull for, what sport they need to play, what kind of hunting they need to like, or what kind of fishing they need to partake in, what this and that, as opposed to teaching them the things and being so focused on those things that really don't matter. The things that we need to teach them are the Word of God so that they would see some of the things that the Lord has blessed you to be able to see. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and thy blessing shall overtake thee. Hearken unto the voice through the written word of God. Hearken unto the relationships that you have in this world of people that are that have walked with the Lord here in this time. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God through the gospel. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God through the preached word of God here in this world. Hearken unto it, observe it, obey it. Listen and hear what God is saying unto you. You know, every once in a while, you get a... and I don't worry about it as much as I used to. But you can tell when you're getting on somebody and they think you're getting on them a little too much. A lot of times they're not able to hide the expression in their face. And you know, it's like a father in the ministry told me one time, even if they are a lot of times able to hide what their reaction is to what you're saying to them in their face, you can always tell what they really think about you through how their kids act towards you. You know, because they're going to speak as soon as they get in that car and pull out in the parking lot. They're going to say something about what was said. And those kids, they are not, you know, a child being as innocent as they are, they're not going to cover up their emotions. And I tell you, you know, you talk about the preacher too much and the preacher will know it. But it's all right. You know, we can joke about that and have a good laugh on the preacher every once in a while. You know, it's like I was listening to a sermon not too long ago, and it was one of our more witty ministers preaching, and he said, you know, we find so often that the preacher is the one that receives the ridicule a lot of times of what he's tried to declare into the people. And he says, you know, what I'll do in return for you ridiculing me is I'll pray that the Lord call you to preach. And I'll let you see what it's like to receive that. And they say, well, I'm a woman. I can't be a preacher. He said, well, I'll pray for them to call your son to preach then. And so you'll know what it's like to have to be the one that everybody can nitpick. You know, so often we focus on maybe what a mistake may be as opposed to listening to the things that could really instruct us. You know, instead of focusing on 10 things that were good, focus on the one thing that was bad and the one thing that was negative. And I'm not trying to condone and say it's okay for a man to make a purposeful mistake and continue to try to lead a flock of the Lord's sheep in heresy. I'm not saying that. Nevertheless, we're all ones that can make a mistake. But hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God through the gospel. Hearken unto what is given in the truth of the almighty word of God. You know, the Apostle Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He said, I declare it unto you again, which I have preached unto you, which you received, and wherein you stand. And what did he say the gospel was? How that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for those sins, then there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins here in the world. And I want to tell you, you do well to hearken unto that truth and say that God's Word says it, and it confirms in my heart that I'm a sinner. You know, I tell you, child of God, today I can't make you feel like a sinner. I can remind you of being like one, but I tell you, the new birth is the only thing that's going to work, that's going to show you that you're a sinner. It's going to show you just how unrighteous you are in the eyes of a holy God. But I've got good news for you. If you feel like you're a sinner and you feel condemned for your sins, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that's exactly what he was sent to do. And that's exactly what he did. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God through the preached gospel of the Lord. And you say, Brother Will, what am I supposed to do if I feel to be condemned as a sinner? I feel like I'm unworthy of the least of the Lord's blessings. Well, guess what? I got some more gospel for you. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ stood in Matthew chapter 11. And he told those people that were there, those ones that he had preached the truth of the fact that they were sinners up to this point, and plainly showed them what they were by nature. He tells them there in Matthew chapter 11, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He says, come unto me. And I tell you, child of grace today, that's the same, the still gospel call that the Lord has given us here in this world today. Come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to his feet. Cry unto his feet. Cry unto the people of God and desire a home with them through the waters of baptism. I tell you, that's the gospel call here in this world. That's the hearkening. That's what the Lord has told you to observe and obey and hear and listen here in this world. And you can say, Brother Will, that's just not what I want to hear. Well, I tell you, you don't have to bring that complaint to Brother Will. You can bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that gave the initial invitation to come unto him. And I want to tell you, if you feel to be a sinner and you feel to be weighted down by the cares of this world, and the religions of this world have told you everything that you've got to do in order to receive rest, in order to get to go to heaven one day, and they've laid one thing on you and you still don't feel like you've got it, so they lay another thing on you to make sure you've got it, and by the time you've got that laid on, you feel more and more loaded down than you've ever been in your life. Well, let me give you some good news here today. There's not one thing that you need to do in order to get to go home to be with God. The Lord Jesus Christ did it all. What you need to do is come unto him here in this world and cry at his feet and plead unto him and tell him, thank you for doing it. Because it's achieved, it's fulfilled, and the Lord has promised it unto you. And he will not, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, he will not take it back from you. It belongs to you. And I tell you, as the man said one time, if there's ever something that we need to encourage the people of God to do that are blood-bought, heaven-bound, that are going to be with the Lord. I tell you, one of the best things we can do is get busy living with Him here in this world and walk with Him. And that's the way we can do it, is through the waters of the baptism, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, through the Scriptures, through the wisdom of the people that we're blessed to have with us here in this world, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is how He speaks to His people in this day and time. I thank you for your time and your attention this morning.
Glorious things of the
treasure, none but silent children.